Chapter 5 Magnetic Tensions and the Bridge Between Spirit and Matter. May we finally find, here and now, the wisdom of the soul to accept our reality and transform it. It is always good to remember the wise advice of the Golden Verses of Pythagoras, 18-46. Bear with patience your fate, whatever it may be, and never complain about it, but try, as far as you can, to improve it. And bear in mind that fortune does not send most of these adversities to good people. Among people there are many kinds of reasoning, good and bad. Do not admire them too much, nor reject them.
But if untruths are spoken, hear them in meekness, and arm yourself with patience.
Observe at every occasion what I am now going to tell you.
Let no one lead you astray by word or deed.
Do not let yourself be persuaded to say or do something that is not beneficial for you. Deliberate and reflect before you act, lest you do foolish actions, because only a miserable person speaks and acts thoughtlessly.
Do what you will not later regret or will harm you. Never do something you do not understand,
but learn all that you need to know, and thus you will have a happy life. Do not in any way neglect the health of your body, but give it, in due measure, the food and drink, and also the movement it needs. By measure, I mean what does not hinder you. Accustom yourself to a way of life that is fair and decent, but not sumptuous. Avoid all things that might cause envy, and be not spendthrift like those who know not what is decent and honourable. Be neither greedy nor stingy. A due measure is excellent in these things. Do only those things that cannot harm you, and reflect well before doing them. Do not allow sleep to close your eyes after you have gone to rest, before you have reflected and examined all your acts of the day.
What did I do wrong? What did I do? What did I omit to do that I should have done? If in this examination you find that you have done something wrong, reprimand yourself severely for it.
And if you have done something good, then rejoice. Do all these things thoroughly, examine them well, and love them with all your heart. They will lead you to the path of divine virtues. Taking into account these precepts to address the topic of healing, we would like to seek together a deeper understanding in the light of the universal teaching. What exactly are illnesses? How do they arise? How do they manifest themselves in our organism? And above all, what is your true objective? In recent years, we have been talking about the threefold manifestation of divinity in human beings. This threefold manifestation, which we also know as the Holy Threefold Logos, is based on the two poles or pillars of divinity. There is a bridge that unites these two poles. Thus, spirit and matter interact with the soul as intermediary. We have also seen that this manifestation of divinity takes place in seven levels of density. In these seven levels, spirit and matter merge from the subtlest to the densest state. In the human being, these 7 degrees of density correspond to 7 bodies, which should develop as 7 garments, to be built throughout the 7 days of manifestation of the original divine creation, namely, material body, etheric body, astral body, concrete mental body, higher mental body, vehicle of the new immortal soul, spirit-soul body, spirit body. We also know that in our current state of existence, we are completely stuck in one of these phases, in which we live a process of total identification, in which our consciousness is imprisoned by the illusion of its own existence. We call this process of identification I. This conscious I, which lives in the illusion of an existence separate from the whole, is a phenomenon that arises during the construction of the 4th body, the concrete mental body. In this phase, the human being gains an individual consciousness. This individual consciousness projects from the inside out a world that is the reflection of individualism and separateness. In this world, Orders of life fight each other. Resources for survival are scarce. Human beings are natural enemies of each other. But mind you, none of this is reality. It is just a self-created illusion of reality. This self-created illusion takes on the contours of an order of existence, of a nature separated from the whole, as the individual state of consciousness multiplies exponentially on a planet where more than 8 billion individuals live who manifest the same state of consciousness. It is obvious that this state of consciousness will produce a state of life, a self-created illusion so concrete that not even the authors of the Matrix movie could describe it with such force and clarity. This state of life in which we are immersed, which is the result of the illusion of self-awareness, of the awareness we have of ourselves, has countless effects and consequences. However, in this chapter, we only want to focus on some very particular aspects which we usually do not talk about so often. Perhaps these aspects can help us to better understand the origin and manifestation of illnesses in human beings. We said earlier that divinity is spirit and matter, and in order for it to manifest itself, it needs a bridge, a connecting element, which is the soul. The soul is consciousness itself. The process of manifesting a wave of divine life like that of the original human beings, for example, aims at the gradual construction of this bridge. This process develops until at the middle of this life wave, spirit and matter can meet at a focal point. The focal point is precisely the concrete mind, the phase in which we should find ourselves in our current state of manifestation. But as we well understand, human development has not progressed beyond the manifestation of individual consciousness, I consciousness. Thus, we find ourselves in front of a blocked, interdicted, and unfinished bridge. It is for this reason that human consciousness still does not allow the passage of the powers of the spirit. Certainly, there is a fire that circulates in the conduits of the central forces of our consciousness, ducts that we call the serpent fire. But this is the fire of the self-created illusion of individual consciousness, separate from the whole. It is the fire of I consciousness. This fire completely blocks access between the original divine spirit and our consciousness, that is, our soul, but also between the original divine spirit and our entire organism. This is why our consciousness cannot connect the pure, superior understanding of spirit to the material and organic reality of our existence. In this way, just as when the water of a large river encounters an obstacle in its way, such as a gigantic stone, it will seek the means to continue its flow, even in spite of the blockage and the lack of cooperation of the stone in its way. It will go under, over, along the sides. It will make some kind of detour, but the water of the river of life will necessarily need to continue to flow, because that is its reason for existing. So what happens to us in our present state of existence is something like what happened to that river. We were blocked by the big boulder of our I consciousness. The water of life, the original power of the spirit, will flow into our being, but this will happen without the cooperation of our consciousness, that is, without the cooperation and even understanding of our soul. And this flow of the water of life, of the power of the spirit, will manifest itself in phenomena that the I consciousness simply does not understand and which appear to it as if out of nowhere, coming suddenly from the incomprehensible and the inexplicable.
These phenomena inexplicable by the I consciousness are given names such as fate, tendencies, accidents, or even illnesses. Yes, friends. All these phenomena that plague and torment the daily life of human beings who live immersed in the self-delusion of their I consciousness are the manifestations of the original divine power. However, they manifest themselves in their non-understood, non-conscious form because human beings lack the bridge of the true soul to discern reality and to promote joint action between spirit and matter.
It is in this way that fate, the inexplicable tendencies of people, The accidents along the way of our existence, and above all, diseases, appear as if out of nowhere. They appear without apparent explanation, as correction factors, almost as a vengeful justice of nature, which human beings mortally fear due to the fact that they do not have the organic capacity to understand them. These factors are like the lightning bolts of a thunderstorm that are discharged over our heads while we flee, desperately looking for shelter, full of fear of being hit by them. They are the means by which the tensions, the dissonances that we generate by our self-centered life are discharged in the sky of our own aural field, seeking to find again the harmony between heaven and earth, that is, between spirit and matter, exactly as a thunderstorm that finally discharges and eliminates tensions between the upper layers of the atmosphere and the earth's surface.
Illnesses work in exactly the same way.
Everything we do, what we think, what we desire, everything that arises in us as the most secret intentions, all of this builds up like a tension field on the outer walls of our respiration field of our particular astral field. In this way, the I consciousness, in its illusion of existing apart from the whole, lives its life in a mechanical and automatic way, and thus incredibly strong tensions begin to accumulate, which are transformed into truly heavy and dark clouds in our respiration field. And because we do not have a really living soul consciously connected to the spirit, we cannot consciously perceive these tensions. Just as the waters of the great river of life need to flow even when they are dammed up by a large stone that obstructs their passage, the tensions of our astral field, which have accumulated so intensely, find a way to unload themselves on our organism through major corrective manifestations. But just as the accumulation of tensions in our respiration field took place unconsciously, so these corrective manifestations also take place in an incomprehensible way, therefore a way unconscious to the natural soul, to the conscious self. In this way, just as the lightning bolts of a great storm look for the points with the greatest power differential to discharge on the ground or even in the atmosphere, the tensions of our respiration field find the corresponding points in our subtle bodies where they can discharge. A tension created by the self as abuse of the natural creative force will look to the pelvic chakra for discharge and so on. This discharge of tension, depending on its intensity, like a strong bolt of lightning striking a certain area, will affect not only the astral body and its energy centers, but also the lines of force of the etheric body, and finally the organs of the material body.
And so when the organs of the material body are affected, we finally realize that we are sick.
However, in reality, we had been sick for much longer, even before the appearance of any external symptoms. Yes, we were already sick because of our unhealthy, self-centered attitude to life. And it is here, friends, that even in our current state of consciousness and life, we could take a different attitude, an attitude that would possibly change the course of our existence. Yes, because if people used this corrective opportunity that manifests itself as an illness to reflect on what is not going well in their life and mainly in their behavior and in their daily habits, this could be for them a source of self-knowledge and therefore of transformation of their consciousness. We are not saying, and we need to emphasize this absolutely clearly so that there are no misunderstandings and negative and undesirable situations between us, that the persons in question should not seek adequate treatment for whatever illness it may be. It is clear that all people must be treated, and especially the pupils of the school, so that they can maintain a minimally healthy physical condition to carry out their pupilship in their lives. That is not what this is about. We are referring here to the generalized blocking reaction that the vast majority of people have when faced with an illness. We refer to the utilitarian reaction, which sees the body as a machine that needs mechanical repairs when it has any kind of problem and which seeks a treatment that eliminates the symptoms so that we forget about them as quickly as possible, so that in this way we do not have to deal with the true causes, the causes that are found in our own behavior towards life. Yes, we want a general anesthesia in the face of the pain of living inconsequentially. Something like a miraculous treatment that removes from us the condition of an illness as quickly as possible, and that assures us of the right that we believe we have, in our central self-delusion, of continuing to live in an absolutely unnatural way, poisoning our existence, and that magically frees us from the tensions we ourselves have created. It is here that a great danger resides, the danger of blockage by turning our back on the corrective manifestation that arose as an illness, the danger of taking one more aspirin and continuing at full speed on life's avenue of absurdity without even looking around and asking ourselves, why? If we block all the symptoms with allopathic medicines, we prevent them from manifesting in the physical body, and we force tensions to build up again in the etheric body. If we block all symptoms with homeopathic medicines dynamized at very high potencies, we prevent them from manifesting in the etheric body, and thus force them to accumulate again in the astral body. And if through all kinds of natural, magical practices disguised as alternative treatments, we prevent such tensions from manifesting in the astral body with interventions in the chakras and in the serpent fire, then these tensions will be forced to accumulate again in our respiration field around our subtle bodies within the microcosm. This is equivalent to placing more and more stones around the great stone of our consciousness, which blocks the passage of the water of life, of the vital power of the spirit in our being. In this way, we will not only create a blockage, but a real dam that will completely prevent the circulation and flow of vital energy. For a while, this could even give us a false sense of tranquility, peace, and physical and energetic well-being, as apparently we manage to pre-vent the tensions that are in our body from being discharged and creating the undesirable symptoms we so wanted to get rid of. We are calmer, thinking that we do not need to look at our attitude of life and check what needs to be transformed and modified in the first place. But just as an innocent child playing in an open field is overtaken by the storm that sweeps over it all at once, so too will be the reckoning of the magnetic tensions accumulated and totally dammed up in our being. But this time, with the force of a hurricane, with the force of a dam that breaks and opens the way for a gigantic wave that sweeps away everything in its path. These are the degenerative illnesses that strike us, and that when they manifest themselves, no longer appear as opportunities to correct the state of consciousness, but present themselves as something that forces a direct and inescapable change in our state of life. On the other hand, we note that there are many human beings who realize, even in the face of such a profound and acute situation, that they need to change their attitude. In this way, they use this opportunity for a fundamental transformation of their lives. Therefore, after all that we have said, and which may have been particularly harsh words for all those who have had such experiences in their lives, we need to point out that as pupils, we have a very noble and very high task in all of this. As pupils, we have a great mediator, that is, the collective body, the living body of the school. We do have this vehicle that can serve as an intermediary vehicle between spirit and matter while we are still building this connection in our life system and in our subtle bodies. But there needs to be, on the part of the pupil, a sincere life behavior, a true surrender, and a true connection. This mediator, this complete collective body, constitutes a bridge between the power of ideation, spirit, and the force of manifestation, matter. That is how it can help us to find the right way to work on ourselves, and to seek the strength to demolish what needs to be demolished, and to build what needs to be built. It will help us to understand what are the factors that we inherited from the previous existences of our microcosm and those that are directly linked to our attitude of life in this existence. Only in this way will we learn to accept what we cannot change, but we will also find the strength to transform what we can and must change.